Freedom Fiends.
Yo, it's the Freedom Fiends live. Welcome to our live radio show. I am Nima Vedati here representing Central Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean on the other end of the interwebs. How you doing, Mr. Dean?
I'm good. I'm broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America and in Wyoming.
Why do I care?
Why do you care?
In the words of a former news director. Yeah, why do I care, Michael?
It kind of sounded like, I don't care. But you're actually
his voice was. Yeah, why do I care?
But that question should actually sound like, tell us the importance of why we should care. Why
should you care? Framing. Good
why
point.
Should you care? Because, I don't know. The only thing I can think of is because we're not coming from Los Angeles or New York or Chicago. But, you know, there's good people everywhere. I'm not going to bash a region, but I will say this. I left California with my wife 4 years ago to move to Wyoming, and my life has gotten steadily better. And I could walk around with guns, and I don't pay as much taxes. You know, the collar on us slaves is a little looser in Wyoming.
That's true. I do miss being able to walk around openly with the gun, which I can't do here in Texas.
You can open carry a rifle in Texas.
A rifle? Okay. Well, I made that shotgun scabbard. But is it any long gun you can open carry?
I don't know, but there was recently a video of a preacher in Texas open carrying an AK in a Walmart, and
nice.
It created quite a fluff on the Huffington Post. They were all
on the Fluffington Post.
Yeah, they were saying things like, "And he calls himself a man of God, and he carries a gun. It's horrible." And I'm like,
"That's
yo,
so square."
I know, and those are all like atheist agnostics who worship the state, ironically.
Ah, yes, because they've kicked God off the throne.
Statheists.
Silly squares.
Statheists.
Yes. Explain to the people what a statheist is, Michael.
Oh, it's an atheist or agnostic who not only is just atheist or agnostic, but actually believes they're superior to people with religious beliefs because of their atheism or agnosticism. But ironically, they literally worship the state. They worship the government. They don't love America. You know, they're usually like, ugh, patriotism, that's so square. But they worship
the state. They also have the same gaps in knowledge and the non sequiturs they use to justify the state and aggrandize it that they call out theists for using erroneously.
Yeah.
So they're also hypocrites.
Yeah, that's us. That's what statheists are. And we like to poke fun of them here on the Freedom Fiends. We like to poke fun of people who think they're smarter than everyone else because they don't believe in God, but they believe in the God of the state.
Of course, we should pause for a little bit because we don't hate the statist. We hate the state, right? We don't hate the sinner. We hate the sin. So we love all people. We welcome all people towards enlightenment and believe that it's ideas that we're poking fun of, not necessarily people, individuals themselves, but some of the foolishness that they might subscribe to.
And I have to pause even further and have you define hate the state, because listening to the Freedom Fiends, you know, sometimes we can go down wormholes of like, what are you guys talking about? You guys sound like the Communist Party. And we're like, no, we hate communists, man.
Yeah.
We hate communists. You know, we don't like
We hate communism.
Basically, we don't like aggression against weak things. We don't like strong, mighty things pointing guns at weak things and making them do things they wouldn't naturally do, making them be unnatural. And that's what all government does. That's what Obama's doing right now. And we're going to go into this quite extensively in today's show, the name of which is Congress Won't Back War in Syria Unless They Are Caught in Bed with a Live Boy or a Dead Girl. And we're not being smutty. We're actually quoting a former governor of Louisiana. Talk a little about that guy.
Edwin Edwards, who I think was governor of Louisiana for twice as long as any other governor of Louisiana. And yes, he did have the famous quote in a debate. I don't know if it was in a debate or it was during an election. And he said, the only way I could lose is if I was caught in bed with a dead girl or a live boy, which I think other people in fiction have used that line as a funny
joke.
Yeah,
it was used in the John Travolta's character in the movie Primary Colors, where he plays a Southern politician who's kind of loosely a lot like Bill Clinton. but they don't call him Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. He's actually more fun than Bill Clinton because Bill Clinton wants to kill you and take your guns away. You know, in AA, people have sponsors, you know, someone who's been there and been through it, and they kind of tell them what to do. I think that presidents have president sponsors, and I think that Obama's sponsor is probably both of the Clintons, Bill and Hillary. And I really think that right now, Obama's sponsor, if it's Bill, maybe it's Bill, maybe it's George Bush, I don't know, but one of those guys is telling Obama, you need a good war. You need a good war. They don't remember presidents unless they have a good war. And you got to go to war, and it'll get everyone off your back about Benghazi and the IRS and the NSA and the everything else. So I think that's it.
He's so half-butting it, though. I mean, this is like the sloppiest
it's not a good war.
fake sale on a war ever. And trying to be the shortest, too, right? Like, it took a year for Bush and Colin Powell to point at blurry pictures with red lines on them. Just like a year of doing that and trying to drill it, like Iraq, weapons of mass destruction, 9-11, 9-11. And then just pausing for the non sequitur to try to get you to connect in your brain that Iraq had something on earth to do with 9-11, which they did not. Obama just thinks like it'll take a week, and he's kind of, you know, we had this thought the other day. You were saying, you know, I saw this video of him, and he was kind of scratching his eye as he was getting off of the helicopter
with his middle finger.
He was doing it with his middle finger, and you couldn't help but thinking that he was doing that on purpose as like a petulant snub to the media or something.
Yeah, flipping us off. I was like, he's done it before.
You know, that kind of makes sense, you know, with the whole trying to go to war with Syria in just a week after some fake allegations that you have no proof of, and trying to do it before the proof even comes back or before any evidence is actually put out there. And I thought, you know, maybe this all makes sense if you look at it one way. And I thought, maybe this it's like a movie, right? And when Obama was 15, smoking herb with the Chum Gang in Hawaii and skipping class to do drugs, maybe he came across a magic lamp and rubbed it and wished that he would be president. And the 15-year-old him was automatically transported to, like, now, like, real time. And he just, like, you know, assumed the body. And that's why we're getting the Obama we have now.
Yeah, like basically the Beavis and Butthead Obama, who's like a little smarter than Beavis and Butthead and just flipping right. everyone off. Like, yeah, I'm right. president. I do what I want.
Yeah,
what
yeah,
about
I'm president.
It? I do what I want.
Some hot cruise missiles. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, the point here, that. Okay, first of all, this war has like, it hasn't, the freedom fiends are already against the next war. That's a bumper sticker. It should be. We're already against the next war. This war, it's based on faulty information. It's based on blurry videos that someone has already said those weren't shot in Syria last month. I shot those in Iraq in 2004.
Well, those were some pictures. That wasn't with the chemical attack. Okay. But yeah, the rebels have been lying. This is their record. The rebels aren't even one cohesive group. But
it's like a thousand groups. And it contains Al-Qaeda. Yeah. And Dennis Kucinich nailed it. Dennis Kucinich, my favorite Democrat, the guy tried to impeach Bush, and he tried to impeach Obama. That's pretty awesome for a Democrat.
Yeah.
And he's married to a woman who's about 1,000 steps out of his league. But it's because he says stuff like this. Right. You know, he's like a little tiny, ugly little troll who'd live under a bridge, and he's married to this like tall, gorgeous, redheaded British woman who's like 4 feet taller than him. And he basically said that if we go to war right now with Syria, America is going to become the air force for Al-Qaeda. And there are people in the best fighters, the strongest fighters in those rebel groups are former. Well, they've just changed their name and crossed the border. They are Al-Qaeda. So if you back this war, you back the people that blew up the World Trade Center. End of story.
In fact, some of them are calling themselves the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, which means they are trying to say that, yes, we are now fighting for some kind of pan-Islamicist state, you know? This boogeyman that all the Islamophobes have been pointing to for years before it even came close to existing, that there was be some kind of giant Islamo-fascist caliphate. It was the furthest from the truth. You know, it was a couple of guys in a cave in Afghanistan. And now, after all their intervention, this kind of thing is coming true. It's become the self-fulfilling prophecy that they were so scared of, but their fear has pushed it into pre-existence.
And the reason I say Congress wouldn't back a war in Syria unless they were caught in bed with a live boy or a dead girl. First of all, Obama's not getting caught. You know, he's doing the Bush thing. The U.S. hasn't declared war since World War II. They're just going to go. And we made jokes about Obama having a BlackBerry app that says bomb Syria. Like, that's the due process now. Like, the war, there's an app for that. Mm-hmm. But about 130 members of Congress, or 100 and something members of Congress, including 20 Democrats, have written a letter to Obama saying, don't go to war without running it by Congress. Now,
how funny is that? Is that it's a majority of Republicans saying don't go to war.
I know.
That's the new world.
Yeah. And you know, part of it is they want to be included in the process. It's like a family where like the stepkids like, hey, you got to run it by me. But it's also, you know, and a lot of Congress want it to happen without congressional approval because they tacitly endorse it, but they don't want it on their hands. They want to be able to say, oh, we were against it. We were against that. But here's what I think. Today, Obama is meeting secretly with some members of Congress. I think he's going to show them NSA pictures of them in bed with a live boy or a dead girl, or show them, you know, their offshore bank accounts where they keep their bribe money. And suddenly you'll have those reluctant members of Congress saying, yes, I saw the pictures, the blurry pictures of the red arrows. We must go to war in Syria to protect America.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I think there's a bumper sticker like that. The NSA blackmailing your congressman since 1952.
Really? If there isn't, there should be. Is that?
I think there is one. I think Scott Horton has an ad for it on his show. He does that Liberty stickers.
I think that's how they sold Obamacare, because it was pretty close and it was pretty reluctant, and they had to change the rules to pass it. I think they maybe had some secret information about certain key Congress people and senators.
So that could be the blackmailing that's going on. If you remember during the bailout, remember that was voted down when the economy was tanking in 2008, or was it 2007? I think it was 2008. And they were going to vote on this giant TARP package. And it was voted down because everybody was calling their congressman saying, no, no, don't do this. That's our money. Stop, stop, stop. And it was voted down. And then they came back and voted for it. And one of the congressmen said, well, we were told there would be martial law if we don't vote for this. So I guess I'll vote for it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, patriots are proud of saying, you know, when they came out of the Congressional Congress, a lady asked Franklin, what kind of government are you giving us or forcing on us? Yeah, and he said, a republic, if you can keep it. And that's what's led to this now. This is the republic, if you can keep it.
Yeah, I guess we couldn't
keep it. It didn't work, man.
They couldn't keep it. And we'll have many more Freedom Fiend stuff coming up in just a little bit.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts. 5 centuries after the first spaceflight, the stars remain beyond humanity's reach. So a mad scientist enlists the aid of a young technician, Nicole Orem, as they travel through the solar system, encountering the hazards of space and human treachery. Quantum Vibe, Volume 1, Nicole, collects the first 400 strips of the epic sci-fi webcomic series, available now from the major online bookstores or direct from bigheadpress.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
All right, welcome back, Freedom Fiends. It is time for more Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vedati here in Central Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean out in a much more rural place in the great state, the cowboy state of Wyoming. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say great state. That's kind of an oxymoron, huh? The great geographical region of Wyoming-ish. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
the Platte River Basin.
The best places to live in the country are basically the Mountain West, the Dakotas, you know, Wyoming, South Dakota, North Dakota, Idaho, Montana, Utah.
I do adore the Texas Hill Country, but I don't at all have any respect for and detest the regulations the police state imposed upon me from Texas, man. It's kind of heinous out here. Like, my wife has to pay the government every year because of some tickets she got 3 years ago. I forget what they call it. It's like continuing risk assessment or some Orwellian talk. But she has to continue paying, like even though she's already paid the fines. If you get a certain amount of tickets for the rest of your life or for the next foreseeable future, you have to pay money.
To the insurance company or to the government?
To the state.
Really? Yep.
It's a revenue increasing, and that was how it was sold to the public. Was it'll increase revenue? It'll increase state revenues. Give us a raise, please. Yeah.
Yeah, so we can buy more militarized vehicles to mess with you with.
Yeah, pretty much.
So there's a couple things related to this whole Obama war were declared, but it weren't declared. He's just going to go probably. One is the thing that Denis Kucinich also pointed out, that this could start World War III. The Russians are really good friends with the Syrians and, might retaliate. And there's also the thing of like, you know, this isn't really a coalition of the willing. It's a coalition of the reluctant. The UK had vigorous debate on it, you know, in their Congress, in Parliament, and finally decided, no, man, no, you do this. We're not going. And so all they've got is Greece and France. Greece have long been enemies of Syria, and France used to own Syria. France was the, you know,
the imperial power.
And they missed those days. They missed those days apparently. when they weren't the brunt of a joke. I think also since they were not involved. They're criticized for not having been involved enough in World War II and in the Iraq War. They certainly were involved in the Vietnam War. It started with them, and then they passed the football off to us, off to the U.S.
Yeah, the French neo-imperialism going on does not bode well. Now, I don't know if World War III is the right terminology going on.
Aren't we already in World War III?
I don't know.
The U.S. is militarily involved in more nations probably than we're involved in World War II in smaller capacities, but...
Yeah, smaller nations too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no actual big military the United States is fighting. But here's one counterpoint I've heard that is pretty cogent, that nuclear powers historically, I mean, you don't have a whole lot of precedent because there's only been nuclear powers for several decades, not even a century. But nuclear powers historically don't fight hot wars with each other. They fight wars through proxy.
Well, they say that.
Maybe Syria is the next proxy war.
But, and you know, Vietnam is always pointed at too as the big example of a proxy war. But in Vietnam, it was a proxy war between, you know, America, China, and Russia. And America put boots on the ground there, a lot of them.
That's right.
And
it was a proxy war for the others, but the Americans actually sent, or the United States actually sent drafted slave troops over there. Yeah, good point.
And it didn't go well, and then Nixon got elected with I will end the draft, and did. But, you know, that doesn't work anymore because we're in the poverty draft now, to where they've wrecked the economy so much that people feel they have to join up the military anyway and go be sent to fight World War III. 2.0. But the thing is, they need another win. So the win that they've come up with is sort of legalizing pot in a backdoor way. And we're not against that. We don't like that people are thrown in cages for doing things that don't harm anyone except maybe themselves. And the war on drugs, all the violence comes from the war, from the government, from outlawing it, from driving the price up.
Right.
You know, you don't have beer trucks. You don't have Miller trucks and Bud Light trucks shooting it out in the street, as Shane Cheed said.
No. And they do. They're in conflict. I mean, they're combative, but they do it peacefully with Super Bowl ads. You know, it's who can come up with the best Super Bowl ad or the best campaign or the best slogan, less filling. Or whatever they have, you know?
So talk about this legalization of pot that just happened. Now, this doesn't mean you can walk down your street smoking a joint now, but it might if you live in Colorado or Washington.
I predicted last week that what can the feds do? They can fight the states like Colorado and Washington who've legalized it, or they have to give them a pass. And I don't think they would take up that battle because that's not a battle that they can win right now.
They need a win.
they need a win. And so they did something different. And we'll get into that here after we go to the market on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon. Your
house is your property. Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadabi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vadadi, and we've also got Michael W. Dean out there in Wyoming, the state that he predicts will never legalize pot. And not only that, but when it is legal or taken off Schedule 1 and decriminalized on a national level, Michael thinks that Wyoming will actually nullify that at a state level.
I really think they will. I really think. And I don't think that would be the will of the majority of the people here. Not that that matters.
It'd just be the will of the ranchislators, right?
Yeah. I think that there are, and possibly the governor, I think there are people here who would say, well, the people who fund us don't like that, and they're afraid of that, so we need to finally have state rights. And, you know, it's kind of an interesting issue, I think. Here's the other reason I think that Eric Holder said, we're not going to go after states for legalizing pot, although they're going to reserve the right to, which probably means we'll let this stand for now, and after Hillary's elected in 2016, we'll go after it again. But
right.
And you know, I'm kind of surprised because I've been predicting for about a month now. Like, I think that they're going to legalize pot as the 2016 platform to get the next Democrat in, and the Republicans are going to shoot themselves in the foot by saying this cannot stand. You know, which really, like, the Republicans have been shooting themselves in the foot for a while now because they get so square, man, about, well, we can't have this and we can't have that, and we're into small government, but we want to be bombing everyone all over the world, and we don't like drugs, and people shouldn't be able to do what they want to do. You know, basically big government stuff under the guise of small government.
They try to pitch themselves as the party of limited government, but all they really are is the party of government limited to whatever we want it to be.
Yeah, and we're not talking about all Republicans. Obviously, the people who backed Ron Paul don't feel that way, and Ron Paul probably had a chance of defeating Obama, and the Republicans were like, that guy's too freaky. We can't back him. We need to back a guy from, you know, a guy who basically sounds like Obama.
Right. Well, in the polls during the nomination process, he would beat Romney sometimes on electability versus Barack Obama. When people asked, would you vote for this person or Barack Obama, Ron Paul would beat Mitt Romney by a few points. But that was only addressed to people at large. You know, if he was polled Republican against Republican, you know, he wouldn't win because apparently they weren't so concerned about electability when it came to Ron Paul being in the mix.
Yeah, and I want to point out another theory I have about why they're tacitly backdoor legalizing marijuana now. obviously they need a win. They are hated by most of the people now. I mean, this Syria thing has like a
6%
approval rate. There's the IRS scandal. There's the NSA spying. There's Benghazi.
Which NSA scandal is far from over. Glenn Greenwald still says he's saving the juiciest stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that's a security plan on his part, but he's got plenty more good stuff to put out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the other thing is, though, and this is more kind of this is more serious of why I think they had to do this. I think that they didn't want to risk. I think that Holder didn't want to risk a state getting into a nullification battle with the federal government and having overwhelming approval of people in that state and federally. Because if that wins, it would win with guns, and they don't want to just hand it over to guns. And people often say, you know, a lot of right wingers say, well, you know, the pot lobby is against the gun lobby. It's really not. It's basically politicians are using it as a weapon to divide and conquer. And the way to win that one is to not buy it. We are gun people, Nima and I. We do not smoke pot, and we are all in favor of legalizing pot because we realize that the war on drugs fuels the war on guns. So even if you don't care about your neighbor and you just want everyone in prison and you want to be paying for them 100% of the time, which is kind of ironic because right wingers are usually like, I don't like welfare, I don't like food stamps, let's end it. But let's build more prisons and put people in and spend a lot more money per year housing them, feeding them, clothing them, and getting their health care than if they were just on food stamps. We're not in favor of food stamps either, but we're really not in favor of prisons where people are taken out of being productive members of society and thrown in a cage, and we all have to pay for it. We're not in favor of that. But even if you don't care about that, if you only care about yourself and your gun rights, you should not be in favor of the war on drugs, because those big tanks they use and those guys who kick in doors all day long for potheads, those are the people they're going to send to get your guns. And you think, oh, well, I'll have this revolutionary war battle in my front yard. No, it's going to be 1,000 Ruby Ridges, man. And they are just going to bowl over you. And they'll probably send members of the military, those people that you support 100% of the time. You know, they're going to send your sons to come and kick in your doors and take your drug and take your guns.
Ding, ding, ding. Feisty libertarian rant one.
Thank you, good job, Michael. Thank you.
All right. Clap, 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 clap.
You're right, I'll pass it off to you.
Because it's not a war on drugs. It's not a war on guns. It's one war, and it's the war on freedom. Even the war on poverty is nothing but a war on freedom. And so if you support one battle in it, you know, these are the battles in it. But we're not supporting the side that is anti-freedom here at The Fiends, because that's not what we do. We realize that a top-down structure of people controlling others, telling them what to do, and then here's the kicker. This is what makes it horrible. Then assuming that they have the moral high ground to do it, because that's what allows them to do it, and that's what makes people continue to support the politicians and the bureaucrats running everybody else's lives through force, is because they are indoctrinated to believe that that is the right thing and that's how society should be organized if humanity is to be civilized. I take the Jeff Tucker approach, and I say, no, anarchy, anything less would be uncivilized. That's what Jeff Tucker says. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is that it is very uncivilized to have a society where the state makes the decisions against the best interest of the individual, because who knows what's better in my life? Who has the information in my life? It's me. And who's best at making decisions for my family? It's me. It's not somebody pushing paper in an office across town. I do live in the state capitol, but in Michael's case, somebody pushing paper in an office 2-3 hours away in Cheyenne. Depending on what state you live in, this could be somebody hundreds of miles away who doesn't know your name, doesn't know where you live, but is making decisions that will affect your life and your family. It's not fair. It's not economically viable. It's not sustainable. And it is the cause of 99% of the problems in the world, I would say.
Ding, 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 ding. Feisty libertarian rant number two. Yeah, and actually in Wyoming, they do know my names, because this state is so small that when you write the state reps and say, I think, and give them a clear email or phone call of why they shouldn't aggress on your personal liberties in this particular manner, they write you back. Like, they do it. They don't. Your secretary doesn't do it. They do it. And they write you back and say, yes, thank you for your interest. And it's not a form letter. Like, they actually read it and comment on it and then say why they're smarter than you and they're going to do what they're going to do anyway, even though the constituency is against it. Now, Anybody who backs the war on drugs but is a constitutionalist, tell me in the Constitution what authorizes the war on drugs. The only thing that you could honestly say is the two things that they use to sell Obamacare.
The general welfare clause and the supremacy clause.
Yep. Yeah. And the commerce clause. Those three things. Yeah. Like, those are the three things that were used to sell Obamacare. And show me a constitutionalist who likes the war on drugs but hates that Obamacare was sold under those things, or hates those things, and I'll show you a Democrat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's inconsistent. And inconsistency is not the friend of logic. And as such, it's not the friend of sustainability or viability or having a peaceful world, because inconsistency means hypocrisy. And it means some people, i.e. the powerful people, get to do whatever they want, and the other people, the unpolitically connected, have to face the brunt, and they're the ones who lose out, because it's a zero sum game in that case. If it's not a situation where it's based on voluntary interaction or on negotiating, then it's a zero sum game, and I don't think the world has to be organized that way at all.
Yeah. Someone just called me in the chat room. Someone called me on saying "we" when talking about the United States federal government or the U.S.
It is them. I'm not part of the federal government.
You know, you're so trained from really small age to say "we" when talking about what your government does. And I actually saw on Free Talk Live, I heard a hilarious one. There was a caller who kept saying, "Well, if we do this and we do that," and Ian kept saying, "Who's we? What do you mean we? Who's we?" And the caller didn't really get it. And Mark said, "Well, let me explain what he's doing here. Otherwise, he's just going to get into a Sheldon Cooper loop." Sheldon Cooper is the guy on Big Bang Theory, the uber genius who has very bad social skills that just kind of gets into logic loops when people do anything unlogical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we got off on philosophy there pretty hard, but
that's okay.
Yeah, well, let's get back to the actual facts on the ground.
Court denies access to White House visitor logs. Like, every day, there's just something more tyrannical. Like, yeah, the government, it's open and transparent. Obama promised the most transparent government in history, and look at everything he's done, spying on you and now blocking who he's meeting with. And, you know, I don't get that upset about it. I'm like, of course they do. They're the government. That's what governments do worldwide. But,
well, I kind of figured that they were doing that when it was somebody they didn't want on the record anyway.
Yeah.
It's just like you said, now they're doing Gordon things Liddy. In the open. Now they're doing things out in the open that in the past they would have felt somewhat embarrassed about and felt like they had to hide it or not even have a court decide this. But now it's all out in the open. No, you don't get to have those because they are presidential records and therefore exempt from disclosure requirements of the Freedom of Information Act. I didn't even know that there was that exemption in the FOIA.
Of course,
law.
There
Did
is.
You?
I think that Obama's sponsor, his president sponsor, is G. Gordon Liddy.
That's who he's meeting with.
Yep, yep. The uber Republican who was the hand of God behind Nixon pulling the strings and killing and, well, claiming that he was asked to kill somebody for Nixon and got caught trying. Something like that.
He was a pretty heinous guy, saying that he would kill his own kid if it was his kid or his country, or something to that effect. In that interview, we watched the documentary with him and Timothy Leary.
And I want to point out that we've made a promise not to bash other talk show hosts because, hey, they do what they do, we do what we do. But you know what? He retired, so he's fair game. We're bashing what he did in the 60s, and he's still like that. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, that was before he had a talk radio show, right?
Yeah. He had a talk radio show because there are people out there who look up to someone who acted as heinous as that guy did because it was for the Republicans.
You know, he
acted like Obama back in the 60s, back before it was cool.
Yeah, I don't think it's cool now.
It's not cool. Yeah.
But yeah, we actually did a pretty interesting show on it. I encourage people to check out the archives on freedomfiends.com, or maybe you could put it in the show notes for today, Michael, so people can not have to spend a whole bunch of time searching. But yeah, man, G. Gordon Liddy, Timothy Leary, interesting stuff. But I wanted to get back to this this federal pot law thing and what exactly the feds did.
And it's going to have to wait until after we go to the market.
Ah, it sure is.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, Inoculation from Indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today. Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
All right, Freedom Fiends, how's everybody doing? Welcome back to the bottom of hour one of the live talk radio show. I'm Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. How you doing there, Mr. Dean?
Holla, holla, holla.
Holla, holla, holla.
Yeah, people in the chat room are saying that there's a new book coming out that says that Hillary Clinton's a lesbian, and that explains the Monica Lewinsky indifference. And I'm like, okay, what's your source? And they sent me something, and it was like something that's coming out on the National Enquirer. And I'm like, oh, the people that say Elvis is alive and running a shrimp boat in Nebraska? Yeah, okay.
Shrimp boats sound good. There's shrimp in Alaska?
Did you get
Wait.
That's good.
I got it now. Yeah, that is good. Okay. So anyway, I guess we'll go back to Syria a little bit, and then maybe we'll go back to pot in the next hour. But
we got a caller, don't we?
We do. We have a caller. Lisa, can you hear us?
From Rhode
Lisa
Island.
In Rhode Island.
I can hear you.
Hey, Lisa, where are you listening?
I'm listening in Rhode Island.
I mean, on the internet or on radio?
No, over my phone, actually.
Cool, cool. Are you a Fiends listener or a GCN junkie? Or?
I'm a GCN junkie.
Cool. What do you got to say about Syria, Lisa?
I think we should stay the hell out of it. It's none of our business. We are not the world's policemen. And 80% of those polled in a Newsweek poll are against going to war. They're against the president acting like a dictator, and they say that he should go for congressional approval. And I got to say, it's none of our beeswax. I'm sorry what happened to those people over in Syria, but it's none of our business.
We agree with you 100%. And also, there is a lot of doubt as to whether what is said happened to those people in Syria happened at the hands of the government or at the hands of the rebels trying to goad America into being, you know, the Air Force for Al-Qaeda, as Dennis Kucinich said. Also, I got a question for Lisa. If we had if the U.S. ran this by Congress and Congress approved it, would you feel differently about it?
No, absolutely
Good.
Not.
Why?
We don't belong going over there. It's none of our business. And we're the ones, the U.S. is the ones who supplied weapons and money to both Egypt and Syria. This is just ridiculous. Haven't we had enough? Haven't we lost enough lives?
Agreed.
I mean, really. Over in Afghanistan and then Iraq and now the president wants to kill more of our people in Syria? Give me a break.
Well, it sounds like you totally get it, and you're right. I mean, who started all these problems? A lot of it was American interventionism from the get-go, supplying money to dictators, propping up sock puppet dictators, and all sorts of interventions like that. The CIA throwing out Mossadegh in favor of the Shah in the 1950s. And it sounds like you totally understand that. So what do you think going forward the U.S. can do? Because I would say just stop all intervention completely. Stop the foreign aid to Egypt. Stop it to everywhere in the Middle East. Stop it to everywhere in the world and just mind our own business. Would you agree with that, or do you think there needs to be some kind of tapering off?
No, we need to cease and desist immediately. I'm going to quote from the great Ron Paul, who should have been president, but it was stolen from him, partially because of the fact that the GOP shot themselves in the foot by being stupid. Mm-hmm. But yep. It's none of our business. We are not the world's policemen.
Agreed. Agreed 100%, Lisa.
Yep. Well, I'm glad that people out there listening actually get it. I guess all is not lost because, you know, not only do we agree with Lisa, but a vast majority of people in the country agree with Lisa. Thank you so much for your call, Lisa.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. All right.
All right.
Nima.
That's a very heartening thing, yeah, I yeah. think. That makes me feel good in the cockles of my heart and so on.
Are you warmed? Yeah, I'm warmed too, man. I mean, it's good to know that some people get it. There's a lot of people that don't get it. There's a lot of people that do get it. And the people that don't get it like to scream at the people who do get it of like, you're being un-American and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, what's more American than dissent? And they're trying to get it to the point where dissent's illegal, but it's still legal. And that's why the fiends are still talking, Nima.
And how great is it that, you know, people around the world used to criticize the American public for having a short attention span and not realizing that history began before 9/11 and so on and so on. But I feel like that's becoming less and less the case with things like the internet, with shows like ours and other shows on GCN and around the country where people get to tell the truth and say what really happened to lead to now. And people are fed up, and it looks like they're not being fooled anymore. The future is brighter, and we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
For hour two of the Fiends.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll show you the difference between leadership and authority and how to eliminate the demand for authority while remaining peaceful and even calm. We have a forum and it's got gardening tips. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. That's BADQUAKER.com.
All right, Freedom Fiends, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vedati out here in Round Rock, Texas. We've also got Mr. Michael W. Dean. How you doing, Mr. Dean?
You're going to make Round Rock, Texas cool, man. It's going to be like Compton.
Apparently.
Like before NWA, no one had heard of Compton, and now everyone like, claims to be from there, even if they're from like, you know, West Hollywood. But
Although Kendrick Lamar brought it back, it kind of fell off the hip hop map for a decade or so.
Compton.
He's got a line back when Compton rappers wasn't cool, but now they're cool again because he's Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, and people are going to stop saying they're from Austin, which to a lot of people is the coolest thing in the world you can say, but they're actually going to claim to be from Round Rock, one town over.
Although Round Rock is considerably lamer, it is also considerably cheaper. But yeah. Traditionally, this is like people who were shocked with the hipness of Austin decided to go to get away. And so it's like old conservative people is traditionally. But now that Austin's getting so big, it's a nice place
to raise a family, Round Rock.
Yeah, man, I guess so. I guess so.
It's straight out of low cash. You're straight out of low cash Texas, man.
Yeah, there you go. It's suburban Central Texas. Looks the same as Cedar Park or the newer part of Hutto or any of that. So,
man, you're doing shout outs to places I don't even know exist. I mean,
I know, right?
Yeah. I do shout outs to Beast Lick, Wyoming, which is fictitious Wyoming of the mind. It's where my wife and I would like to retire.
Okay.
Although it might be near Wyarno, which is a real place we've discovered, which has a population of like six. Yeah. Maybe 23. I don't know.
Well, I went to the farmer's market this morning, so that was fun.
Cool.
I hadn't been to one.
Engage in some free market commerce there?
I did, yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, one of my favorite things about the farmer's market is no sales tax. I don't know if they have to pay any kind of sales tax or what, but the way the prices work, I mean, obviously they don't have cash registers, you know, so you just give – it's all even numbers, you know. I love being able to just give them $2, like literally $2.
I like how the Freedom Fiends have suddenly turned into – in hour two for a moment here, we've turned into like the libertarian prairie home companion. So
kinda,
yes,
yeah.
Tell me about your trip to the farmer's market today here on Delicious Dish.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well,
man. Go ahead.
I know it's a little thing, but it still bugs me. It bugs me so much. Having to factor in the fact that I'm paying extra money whenever I look at a
price.
You're
paying to bomb Syria every time you buy a candy bar or some fresh fruit.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Yeah. That's what I'm doing. And it bugs me. So I like being able to go to a place, buy stuff that the concept, at least for a lot of people, is bypassing the food industrial complex. And at the same time, I'm bypassing chunks of my money going to various government entities.
Well, you know, they say the Revolutionary War was fought over the problem of taxation without representation. And I've always said, well, with representation, it ain't so hot either. But generally the social contract that you're born signing, you know, which makes you a slave, generally says, well, if 51% of the people want to kill babies in Syria for Al Qaeda with the tax money,
you have to pay for it
then
too.
You do too. But it's not even that way anymore. I mean, it's like what? 9% of America wants to go to war with Syria and they're going to go anyway. And the same thing with the bailouts. I mean, the calls to congressmen the phone calls to not do the bailout. All of them. I mean, it was like 100-1, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what the congressional aides were saying.
And the
new rhino that you need to be scared of. It's not Republican in name only. It's representation in name only, because that's what it's become.
Awesome new coinage of fiend word there. That should go if we use it in one more show.
Fiends
it can go into the glossary, and you should check out the glossary at freedomfiends.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
/ glossary.
The glossary.
Yeah.
You know, if Nixon
slash
had
glossary.
If Nixon had legalized pot during the Vietnam War, things would have gone a lot more smoothly for him. Because they were smoking it anyway. I mean, people were smoking pot and hash and opium in Vietnam. American troops were. And it was all coming from Burma or Myanmar, whatever you want to call it. What's it called now? I don't know.
Myanmar, I think.
Myanmar.
Yeah, it used to be called Burma.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder, because Milton Friedman came up with the idea of getting rid of the draft to take the wind out of the sails of the anti-Vietnam protesters. I wonder if when he was brainstorming on that, if he had thought, well, maybe we could legalize the drugs that they're all doing.
And Nixon
and then
probably
won't be so complainy all the time.
Yeah, and Nixon said, well, I don't think we'll be doing that. Yeah, but, you know, now they have smarter advisors who are, you know, and interesting because Friedman was kind of a lino, a libertarian in name only. And so is the current right-hand thug of Obama, Cass Sunstein. who is libertarian in name only because he calls himself that. He wrote the paper on libertarian paternalism, which is the idea on...
Which is an oxymoron.
Yeah. And actually, I think the paper is called Libertarian Paternalism is Not an Oxymoron. That's the name of the paper or a heading in the paper.
I think so.
And it absolutely is. It's basically like saying, stealing isn't stealing, and here's why. But it is. You know, he was just trying to corrupt the word to make... And he did something with SEO, or it might be just because Google rankings, because it's a government paper. When you search, like, libertarian podcast on iTunes, he's the first thing that comes up. His speech on That's libertarian gross. Paternalism. That is so
That's
gross.
That's disgusting to me.
So he's a lino, and I guess tyrannical presidents need a lino, libertarian in name only, advisor to tell them how to steal more effectively. You know, and I really think it's time to legalize pot. I think that came from Cass Sunstein. It seems like the way his brain works. It really does.
Yeah.
Like we need to win.
Well, I also think, like you said earlier, is that they can't, it's not only that they need to win, it's that they can't have an embarrassment of confronting a state on this, like saying, no, sorry, Washington and Colorado, I know it's the will of your people, but we're still going to crack down on you.
Yeah.
They can't have that because it'll be embarrassing because Colorado and Washington, the people there at least, might say, no way, no way, we're not going to let it slide. We're going to keep doing this and you're going to have people, to come and arrest us. We're going to do civil disobedience.
They need those two states to win the next election too. Those are heavily Democratic voting states, aren't they? At least Colorado is. Mm-hmm.
Washington state definitely is too.
They need to still seem about the Colorado secession, but
Washington has a thing like that too, where Eastern Washington, east of the mountains, which votes mostly conservative, has also floated the idea of becoming a different political realm than the West Side, which is like Seattle.
Yeah, that's probably another reason they're giving them this win is, you know, and it's the Republicans in Colorado who want to secede from the state and become their own little tyrannical state. But they need a win. They don't want an important Democrat voting environment like Colorado to have all the Democrats notice that the government doesn't do the will of the people. Because they'll just stop voting. They just smoke pot anyway and not vote. And the Republicans might win in Colorado because they
vote.
Which is
what we want them to do.
Because Republican gun nuts vote. Most of them.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But all right. So here's the thing, too, is the feds, Eric Holder, the Justice Department, they're trying to couch this in really interesting language, too, to make themselves still seem like they have some moral standing or moral uprightness in the drug war, of which any sane person knows that they don't. And they are the main villain, the satanic force in the drug war. But apparently on Thursday, they stated it's okay, you know, if people want to grow it, if adults want to buy it in stores, as long as the state regulates it. But the caveat is that the weed has to be kept away from kids, the black market, and federal property. This is what the Associated Press reported.
They'll just make everything.
Now that's interesting.
They'll make everything federal property eventually.
I think that's how they're going to get around
people concealed carrying guns legally in states is they'll just make more and more things federal property.
Right. Well, the black market thing was interesting to me too because obviously if you have a true above ground market, there would be no point to the black market. So any black or gray markets that exist in the drug trade is due to the Justice Department in the first place.
Yeah.
So if they wanted to keep drugs away from the black market, then they need to stop taking this half-butted stance and actually legalize the whole thing. Take it off of Schedule 1. Legalize voluntary trade between consenting grown-up adults like you pretend it's a free country. Actually treat the economy as if we did live in a free country and legalize the trade in drugs.
Yeah, what they'll do is kind of tacitly legalize it now, let it spread to other states, and then in the 2016 election, the platform of Hillary or whoever will be doing it federally to nullify the four Republican states that are probably still again it. You know, the, like Wyoming. Oh, who else would do that?
I bet Texas. Texas has no – it's one of the others on the map. If you go to normal.com and click on state info, they've got a really cool interactive map where you can click the things and it'll put a little icon. Looks a lot like the map in our documentary Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
And they're both red states with colleges with people that will vote Democrat if they're tossed the pot leaf.
That's true. That's true. Although Texas is such a giant behemoth of a state that even all the hipsters in Austin, I don't think, would have enough voting power to overturn the state's tyranny on pot. Because in Austin right now, it is somewhat decriminalized. Like the city won't prosecute you as a felony. It'll prosecute you as a misdemeanor and a ticketable offense if you have a little bit of pot.
Isn't that hilarious? Like, they just want to hold on to that bit of control. Like, when you roll a felony down to a misdemeanor and then down to, like, what a traffic ticket is, you know, $100 mm-hmm. fine or something, what are you doing other than just generating revenue? You're not saying nothing. Anything of this is dangerous, we're keeping it from people. You're admitting it's not dangerous or not dangerous to the point where people need to be kept from themselves.
You're just proving that the government is a mafia and it's nothing but protection money. And yeah, you still have to pay your tribute to the Don.
Yes, you still have to give to Nero what is Nero's. Right. To Caesar what is Caesar's.
I would predict places like Burns. Let's see. It also looks like Wyoming, Texas. Here, let me just click on all these things. Decriminalized legalization, medical. So yeah, looks like there's a lot of states still that don't have any kind of liberalism in the good sense of the word.
The ironic thing to me is a lot of the states that are against it are states that have a lot of older people that aren't very healthy.
Could benefit from medical marijuana.
Yeah, and I see these ads on TV for like, okay, if you have extreme pain from arthritis, this medicine you can get from your doctor for a lot of money will help you. Side effects may include insanity, death, you know, leakage from your eyes, bleeding. And I'm like, pot, man, pot. Pot takes care of that kind of pain and doesn't have all those side effects. But those same
still
people
give you bloody eyes.
People are still against it, man, being legal. Even for medical reasons.
We'll have more Freedom Fiends in just a bit.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the central scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
Uh-huh.
Freedom Fiends, that's what it is. Yeah. Okay. So, we brought up the idea earlier that Barack Obama, was...
Ew, you said a dirty word on the radio.
I'm sorry. Did you hit the cuss dump? I hope you did.
Yes, you said Barack. You said the Barack word.
The president of the United States. What do you call
him? Just don't say the F word, Feinstein. Don't say that on the radio. You can't say that on the radio.
All right.
That's a dirty word, man.
So we made the joke that Barack Obama, when he was 15, rubbed a magic lamp and wished to be president, and his consciousness was magically transported to the year now, where he is who he is, and that's why he's acting like a petulant teenager. There was one more bit of evidence that we forgot, and that was the statement from the administration that says they want the Syria action to be just muscular enough to not get mocked.
His coalition of the reluctant. He's like basing it on you know, like in school, when the bully's picking on you, you got to beat up the bully, but you know, mm-hmm. or you got to embarrass the bully, but you don't really want to beat up the bully because his big brother Russia might come over and push your face into the mud. Yeah,
he doesn't want to be mocked. Poor Barack Obama. Mm. Yeah, well, it's so sad because this is so much of his policy is based on this fear of being embarrassed by the mean old Republicans calling him names, like his failure to shut down Guantanamo. Obey, which he has the power to. Those people who say things like, oh, well, he's just being hogtied, he's not able to because the Republicans won't let him.
Guantanamo isn't even legal. I mean, that was like a treaty America signed with someone else. It would be the fact that the United States has that place in Cuba would be like if Russia had a military base against the United States' desire, you know, in Alexandria, Virginia.
Yeah.
Or Cincinnati.
Well, not only that, but he has the power in the law, however you want to say it's legal or illegal to not have Guantanamo itself. But with regard to the prison, it's in there that he has the power ultimately to make the final call on whether to release somebody or not. And so his excuse that the Republicans won't take any action or the Congress won't take any action on Guantanamo, but he really wants there to be because he mentioned the force feeding and he brought it up himself and said it's a horrible thing. And then just went on, just kept talking, like didn't address it, didn't say, but I'm going to change this because he can. So it's just the fact that he's scared of people calling him names and attacking him from the right and saying that he's weak and he's sorry and he's just a pitiful excuse and he's not a tough guy. He is such a mockable figure. You know, I think we're going to mock him anyway, and that's kind of what our job here is at the Freedom Fiends, is to mock him, because however much he cries and is a sensitive, thin-skinned person, this is what's causing his problems, and I'd say he needs to either buck up or move out of the way. I'd prefer he move out of the way.
Yeah, and it's not just that we don't like Democrats. I mean, if Jeb Bush is the president in 2016, we're going to be mocking Jeb Bush. And I would actually be willing to bet that the next Republican in office, if they ever get someone in office again, because they just keep shooting themselves in the foot. But whoever the GOP would put in now that we've seen how they shut out a Ron Paul, or would shut out any Ron Paul and change their rules, yeah, I think that if we start talking like this about Jeb Bush in 2016, I think he'll have us killed, man. I don't know if killed, but I think a Republican would have a lot less of a sense of humor about all this. Not that the Democrats have a sense of humor about it, but they might be smarter about choosing their battles, man. I could see a Republican going after free speech more publicly than the Democrats have, and just not caring, just being like, blah, blah, they can't say those things.
Yeah. Well, it's scary because they seem to care less and less. And a lot of the stuff in the Obama administration, you just go, whoa, that's like mind-blowing. Like they're doing that
every
now,
day,
openly. The NSA scandal and then them basically saying, yeah, well, that's it. Live with it. We're constantly going to be monitoring things.
It's
but
like,
don't worry. We'll only use it in cases that are justified.
Yeah,
but
and
we're
we'll,
still going to spy
we'll
on
investigate
you.
It. We'll have Cass Sunstein go in and inspect it and write a paper on
there
why it's
go.
Okay.
There
Cass Sunstein, the guy who wrote the paper on why the government should infiltrate groups that criticize the government on the internet and try to steer them in a different direction.
So if the Obama administration that supposedly was elected on a mandate of peace, the guy won a Nobel Peace Prize after a short while in office, not having done anything, just on the hope that he'd be a peaceful dude, and then also bragged and bragged about how transparent it was going to be, and then obviously it's not. The only thing transparent in the administration is your lives as they spy on you constantly. what's the next administration bring? I mean, does it get exponentially worse the next time? I mean, what's the flip side of the coin of that every president will make you nostalgic for his predecessor? How horrible do we have to be? How much do we have to be afraid of the successor, you know?
Well, we've had a Watergate every day since Obama was elected, basically. Yep. We'll talk more when we come back from the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of Freedom Fiends. FreedomFiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Yep, it's that thing that we do where we talk into the microphone and other people can hear it. We call it Freedom Fiends. How's it going, man?
Yeah, it's called radio, man. Yeah. Radio.
Yeah, oh, radio. I forgot. Radio.
We're not the only people that do it. Although we act, we act like we're the only people who do it.
Might as well be.
Yes, we're the only people who do it right in our mind, but our minds are very fiend-tastic and fiend-centric.
Yes, they are, and that's fine. I mean, you can do whatever you want with your own mind. At least that's the idea.
We were gonna have some live man and woman on the street interviews from Libertopia this weekend, but we couldn't get the satellite feed patched through. Libertopia is an event happening in San Diego right now, and you can go to libertopia.com if you're in San Diego listening. And you can go there and get free Freedom Fiends buttons. There's a guy there, the Don't Tread on Meme table, who makes silver dime cards with Freedom Fiends and Ron Paul and a whole bunch of other cool people. You can get free Freedom Fiends buttons there, so check
there
that out.
Free Freedom Fiends. Say that five times fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think instead of man on the street interview, we would have called it
Fiend.
Man on the road interview.
Fiend at the scene interview. Yes.
I think wherever we can replace streets with roads, we should do that.
Roads.
To kind of point fun at those who say, but who would build the roads?
And we say, well, people who road builders. And we also say, hey, the roads are built, so you really need a different
argument.
Already
there, man. Already there.
Different
yeah.
Although
think
I really,
something else.
I could see if the United States somehow a magic wand was waved and it went from lots of government to far less to almost effectively no government. I could see people from the government destroying things that were built by the government so no one would have them. So they could prove you can't live without these things.
Well, it sounds like something 15-year-old Shroom Gang Barack Obama, who time traveled to now, would do with his petulant teenagerness.
It's what militaries all over the world, and in particular the U.S. military, is really big on destroying things they bring into a region when they leave the region.
Like the radio in a box?
Yeah, like the radio in a box.
Or Saddam Hussein setting fire to the oil fields when he got kicked out of Kuwait.
Yeah.
I can't have the oil. Nobody can.
That's one of a really powerful image in that movie, Three Kings, which is a great movie. And we want to talk a little bit of Freedom Fix here. We've talked a lot about the tyranny, how there's like a Watergate every day since Obama. Since probably the last 6 months of Bush was in. There's probably been a Watergate scandal every day. And we want to talk about some Freedom Fix. We want to talk about one of our favorite shows, Breaking Bad. Did you see the latest episode of Breaking Bad, Nima Vedati?
Yes, I did. I know I was complaining a lot about why doesn't Netflix let me watch the new episodes, but I found a way because the market found a way, and I am a subscriber to the market.
Yeah.
So pretty much a few minutes after the episode is up, it's very easy for me to watch it after the episode ends, I should say.
I don't know what that means, but yeah, anyway.
You don't have to.
I don't have to, and smart people know. Smart people. And not just smart people, but people in the know, I would say, who are smart. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That was the long way of saying yes, I did see the news.
I think we should give a little disclaimer here. If you haven't seen the latest Breaking Bad and you plan to see it, you should probably go cover your ears and go la 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 for about 60 seconds and then come back. So there's a scene in it where, you know, the whole thing, you've been like, okay, finally, his brother, Walt's brother, Hank, the DEA agent, finds out that Walt is the guy who's been cooking industrial quantities of meth that Hank's been chasing for a year or two. And you're like, how's he going to get out of this? How's our hero going to get out of this? And the way he gets out of it is he makes a video and he hands it to Hank. And the video is really quiet and calm, and it's Walt saying he's confessing to having cooked meth and that it was Hank holding a gun to his head and threatening his family. And he puts a couple details in there that, like, keep him from being able to get ahead of this and take it to the DEA and say, this is all false, he's making this up and blackmailing me, including A, that he went on a ride along, which Hank's partner was in the car when it happened, to bust a meth lab. And then B, that Walt
used the money to pay for his medical bills and his rehabilitation after he had gotten shot by a cartel member who was a rival to their meth empire.
Yeah, to their alleged meth empire.
Their quote.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And Hank didn't know about this. His wife did it behind his back. And afterwards, he looks to his wife and he says, you killed me. That's the final nail in the coffin. You killed me. Ben Stone says as a reference to something in Hamlet or in some Shakespeare. There's a similar reveal.
Oh, that particular phrase.
And you killed me. You killed me. Yeah. It was very Shakespearean. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's so odd because it's got one of those things that amazing drama really has, to where you really have to do some thinking for yourself and not just trust your initial emotions, because in a lot of ways, Walt is a monster. I mean, a few episodes ago, he ordered the deaths of 9 people in 3 different prisons in the span of like 2 minutes. And the scene of it happening is just hard to watch. It's people getting shanked with toothbrushes and it's just nasty. I won't describe it any further than that. And so you really can't get on board. I don't think anybody in the world could look at that and be like, oh yeah, go Walt. But then he does something like this and you're like, man, that was such an amazingly clever way to get out of this, you know, that you thought of, that you didn't panic, that you used your brain, and you go, well, I can accept that as something I can look at and say, wow, that was an amazing thing that Walt did. So it really makes you remember that people should be judged by their actions, and their actions can be lumped together, and you can and help put together a picture of a person, but really actions also have to be judged on their own.
Yeah, and I really liked it from a cinematographic, or more specifically, probably a screenwriting/storytelling sense. I've often said that, to me, some of the scariest things, the deepest, most scary moments in TV and film I like are not the loudest moments. They're some of the quietest moments. And this video we're speaking of is Walt talking into a camera. It's not even good filmmaking. It's like really bad. It looks like a child did it for YouTube. It's him talking really kind of quietly into a video camera. And it's like, it's almost more devastating to Hank than when Hank got shot and almost got his head split open with a hatchet, with an axe, you know?
I think way more, because when that happened, Hank was still the hero and everybody was hailing him as a hero, that he survived it, and that he's still alive, and that he was doing what he was supposed to do, and that he survived by the skin of his teeth and ended up getting out of it.
He was a valiant drug warrior at that moment.
But in this one, it's so much more devastating, because he comes to the realization that, crap, maybe Walt's smarter than me, and he's going to outsmart me smarter on this. Than
him. Yeah. And, you know, he hasn't shown it to anybody. It's just a threat. But you would automatically assume, if you were handed something like that, that there are copies of it somewhere and somebody would hand them over.
And ready to go no matter what happens.
Yeah, kind of like Glenn Greenwald with whatever he's holding back. And right. I'm sure he has other people having copies of it, because otherwise they could just drone him or torture him or put him in Gitmo or whatever the British equivalent of Gitmo would be. I don't know. Wales?
Well,
oh, I'm sorry.
Well, he's in Brazil, but yeah. Did we talk about the Brits detaining his partner? I think, did we talk about
extensively, that yet? And I want to talk about Breaking Bad. I also want to talk about how this kind of, you know, the thing about what I said about the quietest moments can be the scariest. There's a movie called Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. There was kind of an independent big movie back about 20 years ago it was a really good movie. I don't usually like slasher movies. I don't like violent movies. But this is more of a psychodrama movie. There's not a lot of actual violence in it. Or if there is, they just show like a second of it in a memory and then it goes back to the person having the memory. But there's a scene in there where he's sitting at a table talking to a woman. And it's one of the scariest things in that whole movie. And it's just him talking about his childhood and his mother and what led him to be how he is. And there's a scene in Requiem for a Dream where the mother is sitting talking to the son. And she turns to an empty chair and she's talking to the memory of her dead husband as if he's there. And it's very creepy and very kind of real. It's great acting. You know, some of the quietest points in cinema are some of the scariest to me. And there's also a thing of like, you know, when people scream at people, they can make them shut down and people can go, oh, he's screaming at me. Oh, my God. But to me, the scariest thing that people have ever done to me have usually been when they're up in my face talking really quietly.
But as far as in fiction media, I can kind of concur and think of some very quiet moments that kind of rocked my world.
It's
more
kind of
than
reptilian
any.
Is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. But I remember the moment in 1984 in both the book and the movie when, Winston and Julia have been making love in this rented space above an old junk shop that made them remember or imagine what the world must have been like before the tyrannical state controlled every aspect of life. And, you know, they drink coffee and she wears makeup and they go up there and get naked and do their thing. There's this moment when they're looking outside and they're talking, you know, just doing chatter. And Winston says something like, "We are the dead," you know, just something meant to be poetic. And then the telescreen shows up out of nowhere, like it's been behind a mirror or a picture the whole time. And the picture falls off and the telescreen says, "You are the dead." In that moment, you know exactly what's going to happen. And then the helicopters come down and the SWAT team storms in and yada, yada, yada. That was one of the moments I remember. And then spoiler alert for those who haven't seen Moon, that moment when he's watching the old videos of the old Sam Bell, the Moon clone, and how their demise was. And he comes across the part at the end where they supposedly send him off back home. But of course he's not going back home. And instead of being put in a chamber that he thinks is a sleep chamber, so he, for his trip back to Earth, it's a microwave and there's just a quiet flash and there's no sound because it's like, it's just video, you know, and you just see that black and white flash and you know immediately that he's not being sent back home. He's being incinerated. And that was the other quiet moment in media that I really remember shocking me to my roots.
You know, that whole thing with Walt, it did kind of remind me of Shakespeare, but it also kind of reminded me of The Godfather. And I can't think of what particular scene, but there's something just kind of in Godfather 1 and 2, just the amount of deviousness. You know, one is actually how they set up that senator to give them the right, get the licensure to do what they're going to do in Vegas. They basically drug him and then set him up as being in bed with a dead girl. They kill a girl. And when he wakes up, he's covered in blood and he thinks he did it. You know, they were like, "We own you now because we caught you in bed with a dead girl and we can make this go away if you do what we want." It was kind of that level of
three dimensional chess that yes. Barack Obama supposedly knows how to play, but doesn't.
Is there such a thing? I mean, I know there's such a thing.
No,
I've seen
that's
it. But
that's the joke.
Does he say it?
I feel like somebody's probably said it before. I've only heard libertarians make fun of it, but there had to have been somebody who said it at some point. Like,
I think
maybe writing for Mother Jones.
He's doing a bad job with it. I like that Mother Jones yeah. is critical. You
sometimes
know,
some authors.
I say where is the anti-war left? And some of them are working at Mother Jones.
Yeah, but not all of them. One of the writers says, "Well, I believe that Obama's right, because if he wasn't right, he wouldn't be president." You know, it's almost a divine right from a statheist point of view. We'll be back with more Fiends after this trip to the market.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is Nima Vidati. It is the Freedom Fiends. That's Michael Dean. Making various animal noises. It's the Jungle Book
in Beast Lick.
Beast Lick, Wyoming.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, man. So time for the tweak and review. Unless you have any closing announcements, this is the bottom of the hour two.
No, we'll be back tomorrow with more talking, though.
Okay. More yakking about freedom.
Freedom yak.
All right. So this is the Freedom Fiends tweak and review. All right. So let's see. First up, what did we talk about first? Oh, yeah. It was probably Syria.
War were declared.
War were declared, yes. Russian President Vladimir Putin says basically it's nonsense is what he said about the thought that the Syrian government actually did this chemical attack. And I don't know. People like Pepe Escobar and Justin Raimondo would probably agree with Putin, although he said it way later. So Putin's probably agreeing with them. Pepe Escobar says that the point of origin, if you track the rockets, according to some Israeli intelligence, the point of origin of these rockets that may have had the chemical agents came from a stronghold that's been held by the rebels since June. So that's something to definitely think about. Other people have brought forth evidence, or not evidence, but the idea that it's probably chlorine gas, something that the rebels in some YouTube videos have actually bragged about having made and being willing to use. So it could be chlorine, not sarin, which may also explain why the people helping the victims didn't feel like they needed to wear any kind of protective gear, because the chlorine had already dissipated. Whereas if it were sarin, you know, they would be wearing hazmat suits so that the tiny little particles of sarin doesn't make their brain go insane and make them die. So a lot of things that point to Obama being a liar there, or at least somebody who wants to take advantage of something really quick. The other thing, I guess, is why would Assad do a chemical attack after he invited UN chemical weapons inspectors in? Like, they were there right next to the attack. Why would he invite them in and then, what, as a demonstration? Like, I invite you here to prove that there are no chemical weapons, and now I'm going to do a chemical weapons attack. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Also, there's no motive. Assad was winning. The rebels were on their last leg. You know, there's not much they can do. It's a war of attrition as well. And Assad has way more resources. Although I guess you could argue that the rebels have all the resources of Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and even Barack Obama behind them. So maybe not. But anyway, that's where I'm at on Syria right now and my thoughts. We'll move on. Next, we talked about pot. The feds are letting states' rights win. For now, they've said Washington and Colorado, it's perfectly fine. You guys legalized recreational use, and I guess we'll let that slide as long as you keep it away from the black market. No sense of irony whatsoever from Eric Holder's Justice Department there, not even realizing that any black market is because of them in the first place. Speaking of that, next up, transparency. The only thing that's transparent about the Obama administration is that they're lying. That fact is very clear and easy to see. And one of the things we can see there is they've stopped releasing records, or said that they don't have any need or desire to release public records about who's visited the White House. And a court has upheld that those apparently are not subject to the Freedom of Information Act. And finally, we did talk about Breaking Bad and how moments in media that are quiet to your ears can be thunderous to your mind. And of course, what we were talking about is, hold on, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Yeah, if you haven't seen, if you're not caught up on Breaking Bad, plug your ears and say la, 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 la. But Walt makes a video as a confession. And before the jump, he says, this is my confession. And you see him filming it. After the jump, he has a conversation with Hank. Hands Hank a DVD. And on the DVD, it's Hank's confession, quote unquote. But it's him confessing that he's been forced to make meth at gunpoint by his brother-in-law, Hank, who got away with it because he was the head of the DEA and he could lead people on misdirects away from the actual meth empire. Score for Walt. Although, how do we feel about that? Because Walt's kind of done some monstrous things, and now he does this thing helps him get away.
I'm proud of him. He's acting like the government, better than the government.
See, I'm impressed by the action, but that doesn't make me proud of him as a whole person. So I think that there's a nice lesson to be learned there. I don't know. I want to keep watching.
Kidding.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. We'll have plenty more Freedom Fiends. Tune in tomorrow, Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean.
Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about The Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
All right. Thanks, fellas.